And you may be surprised. All right, we're going to continue our Untamed series. Hopefully you have been following along. It's been based on the book by Mark Batterson, Wild Goose Chase. What does that mean? What's a wild goose? Well, that's what the Celtic Christians would call the Holy Spirit, right? Because like a wild goose, the spirit is untamed. It can't be tracked. Or sometimes when you go on this wild goose chase to keep in step with the spirit, it'll take you places you weren't expecting, meet people that you weren't expecting to meet. There is an air of unpredictability and even danger when we decide to follow the Holy Spirit. We want to be able to do that because we want to be on adventure with God. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We don't want to be boring Christians. We don't want to be bored Christians. Right? We want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. It's never boring when we do that. But there can be some traps, some cages that we fall into that hold us back from being in step with the Holy Spirit and being on adventure with God. We've talked about those cages, right? We go ahead and put those cages up on the screen. We've talked about the cages of guilt. That's what we talked about last week. We've talked about the cage. You tell me, what else have we talked about? The cage of what? That was guilt. Yeah, that was part of a cage of assumptions. Pastor Jazz did that. We can go to the next slide. What else? The cage of responsibility and routine, right? And like we talked about last week was overcoming guilt. Overcoming guilt. All right, so how did we do last week with our challenge? We want to hear from you. How did we do last week with our challenge? Our challenge was to show someone grace. We can go to the next slide. Show someone grace who least deserves it. Show someone grace who least deserves it. So how did we do? Better than expected? It was tough, but we pushed through. We denied ourselves, and we did something to encourage that person. You know, we were struggling with it. Some of us may still be struggling with it. I heard some confessions this week. I heard a confession after church, y'all. One brother said, I've been doing all challenges. This one, I don't know about that one. Because of the name of the person that came to mind. How are we doing? Okay, tough. The majority tough, but pushed through. But we're all over the place. We're pretty even all the way through. Okay, we got about 60 people joining us. I think we got more than 60 in this room. I know we got more in YouTube, so we want to hear from you. Yes, so I'll tell you my story. I did good. I am Pastor Angel. I did phenomenal. I'm talking about God gave me somebody to give grace to Sunday evening. It was awesome. I'm like, thank you, God. You know, I said, I'm going to show that grace. And then after that, I had somebody else that came to mind. I called that person, showed grace, showed love, even though they didn't deserve it. I did good. And then I got some encouragement from my daughter, Layla. She said, thank you, Dad. You've been showing me grace this week. I said, I have? What? 3 for 3. I didn't even know. That's a surprise one. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's better than expected. And then Friday night, I was the one that needed grace. We had a football game, North Clayton High School. And we stunk it up, y'all. You know, I'm very passionate about sports and the youth. And it just so happened that, I just got pushed past my limit. And I went off on one of the players after the game. Whatever you imagine going off is, that's what happened. I came home and confessed my sin. I texted people that were involved and I had to get the player's number, and yesterday I text him and apologize, and I was very grateful that he was graceful to me. So, moral of the story is what? You don't want to be the one that needs grace if you don't show it. You withhold grace, don't worry about it. Your time is coming. All of our time is coming, so you better give a lot of grace. Be really good at that, because you will need it. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to this week, the cage of failure. The cage of failure, and the title for today is Permission to Fail Freely. Permission to Fail Freely. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us today together to worship you, to get into your scriptures, to hear your word, and we just ask that you will reveal the things that you want us to grow in, God, the things that are going to help us become more like Christ. Reveal that to us. Help us to hear what we need to hear and open our eyes to what we need to see, Father. Please, God, open our hearts right now so that we can receive you, Father. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. The cage of failure. A little bit different from the cage of guilt. This week, I'm not so much talking about us failing, us messing up, but more about when our plans fail. When we've been trying to do the right thing. We're trying to do good things for the Lord. We make good plans. You know, we're trying to be faithful, and it still does not work out. And even then, it feels like we failed personally. Which is why it's so important to understand what you see up here on the screen, that sometimes our plans have to fail in order for God's plan to succeed. Amen? Listen, failure is tough. It is hard. It can be devastating, debilitating. I mean, it can make you stuck in that cage of, I don't know if I want to try again, dream again, plan great things for God, my family, my friends again. And that fear of failure is real. And it can really hold us back from doing what God has put on our hearts to do. So I want to hear from you. How do you feel when your plans fail? How do you feel when your plans fail? Let's go ahead and go to that next slide so they can interact with us. How do you feel when your plans fail? Now, I don't know about, go back one. Here we go. How do you feel when, a hot mess. I feel that one. I feel the whole energy on that one. Hot mess. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Disappointed and discouraged. Disheartened. I feel horrible. Somebody feels surrender. God bless you. Oh, you need to come on up here with me today. Let me tell you how I feel. I feel like I let others down. Because a lot of my plans have to do with other people. Like, I don't do a lot of plans by myself. I believe in going after things as a team, lead a church. When we come up with plans, we want everybody to come along with us. So it can be hard, even for next week. Fall kickoff. Let's do college edition. Fall kickoff. Let's do two services. Let's just dream about what God can do. Man, what if nobody shows up? Man, will the people be disappointed? I worry about, I'm just going to be vulnerable. I worry about what y'all think about me. Like, man, I showed up to serve two services. We ain't even in that first one. That's what I struggle. I don't know if anybody can relate to that when other people are involved, because that's the last thing. I don't want to let other people down. But if we have the right perspective and we continue to move forward, you know, failure can teach us some great lessons, right? Hence the title, Permission to Fail Freely. Okay, permission to fail what? Freely. Stay with me. Failure can teach us some great lessons. It can humble us, right? It can make sure that when we do succeed, we don't take credit for it. We actually give God the credit because we know how easy it could have failed, right? We know it wasn't us. It can even keep us from taking later successes for granted. You ever get used to, like, just winning? You know, like, just used to winning. It's just, things are falling into place, boom, boom, boom. And then there's a season when things don't go your way. And then one win feels great. Finally, Lord, something good happened. So failure helps us to not take those things for granted. In addition, when we fail, we discover something that's so pivotal to our relationship with God. that when we fall flat on our face, guess who's there to pick us up? God. At what feels like our lowest moments, when our plans did not succeed, when we feel like a failure, we understand, man, even in this moment, God's still there? Yes, he is. And lastly, failure has a way of opening up doors for us, opening up other options that we didn't really see when we were going after what we planned to do, right? So that leads us to this very interesting story at the end of the book of Acts. And it teaches us that, yes, there is life after what seems like failure. And it's in those times that the Spirit is actually calling us to new adventures. So what's going on here in Acts 28? Let me tell you, the last like five chapters of Acts, like 23 through 28, it's interesting. It's like a movie. It's pretty interesting. Paul, the Apostle Paul, you know, he's preaching the word. He gets arrested, right? But he appeals his case to the Roman government as a Roman citizen. So he pleads his case. He's like, y'all can't kill me. You can't give me over to these Jews, you know? Like, I got to stand trial like any other Roman citizen. But along the way, the Jews try to kill him. They put a hit out on him. I'm talking about some John Wick stuff. I'm talking about they had 40 people waiting for them. You know, like in the movies when they transport a prisoner? They had 40 people waiting to take Paul out. But God protected him. Word got out, and God used the Roman government to actually protect Paul, right? So in the process, he gets to preach the word to two governors, Felix and Festus, right? He gets to preach the word to the king, King Agrippa. And then he says, you know what? I appeal to Caesar. That brother was trying to preach to the emperor. So he goes on this ship, on a boat ride, to Rome with 276 other passengers, and they encounter a fierce storm, which leads to their ship being detoured, delayed, and eventually destroyed off the coast of this island called Malta. That's the Spanish drink we have, isn't it? Everybody had Malta before, that's all I could think of. I got to go buy me some Maltas. But as God promised Paul, an angel came to Paul and said, don't worry, everybody's going to survive, but your ship will be destroyed. So we pick up in Acts chapter 28 in verse 1. Acts chapter 28 verse 1 says, once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and said, they decided he was a god. Boy, people are fickle, boy. One second, you're a murderer. The next, you're God. It's, man. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius's father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. Now, side note for all of our, everybody in the healthcare, our doctors and our nurses, our med students, this word used for healed here is not the customary word for miraculous healing. So the word more literally means to receive medical attention. So side note, it could be that Luke, who was a physician, served as a medical missionary to Malta. So it could have been some miraculous healings, and it could have been some of just Luke using his training to help the people on that island. Side note, because I know we got our medical ministry in the house. Verse 10, as a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. And the church said, amen to that. No, I think it's pretty evident that a shipwreck was not in Paul's plan. It's like saying, I'm going to go out here and get in a car wreck today because that's the only way I'm going to meet an officer who's going to need Jesus, and his cousin is going to need some healing. And I mean, that's not how we think. But it is how God thinks. Because God has a way of turning what seems like bad luck into big breaks. He turns bad luck into big breaks. In this case, God used a storm, a shipwreck, a snake bite, his servants, Paul and his crew, to show the sailors, the prisoners, the people of Malta, the power, the protection, and the provision that he has. But first, Paul had to get through some disorienting detours and some discouraging delays. Anybody else feel bad for Paul? I do. Our brother just trying to preach the word. He's just trying to do good. And he's got to go through this whole mess. Surely, there had to be another way. I mean, surely. Yes, I understand it turned out all right. They got everything they needed. And surely the people there, you know, they got healed and they got a chance to get to know God. But surely, God, you are God. There had to be another way. Maybe. Maybe not. You know, I think about the movie Avengers, the Avengers movie. During Infinity War, Doctor Strange revealed to Iron Man that there was only one possible reality out of 14 million outcomes in which they defeated Thanos. Just one. It was only one. Now, in the end, I know some of us are still struggling that Iron Man died. I know we're still grieving. But in the end, this involved Thanos actually winning the first time, the Avengers failing, right? And yet coming back, learning from their lessons of failure. And I think about that. Maybe there could be other ways, and maybe in God's providence, this is the only way. The question for us is, are we submissive to his ways? You know, my goal for us in this message, just to help shift our perspective a little bit, right? To help us process failed plans a little bit differently. To help us go from, what did I do wrong, God? To what are you doing right, God? Go from being frustrated by disorienting detours and discouraging delays to being faithful about divine detours and divine delays that often lead to divine appointments. If we don't change our perspective, we will get stuck in the cage of failure, never seeing what better thing God has in store for us. Today, God has given us permission to fail. Amen. Number one, divine detours, divine detours. Proverbs 16:9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Some of Paul's destinations were planned, but many of them were not planned. But God used what seemed like detours to position Paul right where he needed to be. He changed his course, but it was the exact course that God wanted him to be on. Will we be submissive to God's plans and his course for our lives? If not, then none of this makes sense. We end up getting mad at God. Even maybe we stop believing that his way is perfect, that he cares enough for us to lead us along the way that is best for us. Sometimes we may even give up and stop dreaming. If we don't submit, and if we're not hopeful about what he has in store for us when our plans fail, we can be in a shipwreck of our own faith. There are so many times, let me tell you, that I thought I failed. I felt like a failure because my plans failed, only to find out that God had a better plan all along. Disorienting detours became divine. I can tell you the first time after I became a Christian that I wanted to start a small group, and I was pumped up about this. I gave a little note to all the guys in the campus ministry and said, man, who you are is God's gift to you. What you do is your gift to God. Meet me in my apartment at the Players Club, 3 p.m. And we're going to find out what this means. I just knew it was going to be lit. I waited, it was 3 o'clock, 3:15, 3:30. One guy showed up, David Richmond. I'll never forget. I was so happy to see him walking. He came, and then That's all I really remember. I think maybe a few other people showed up after that. But guess what? Through that, kept me humble. I ended up asking Dr. Patterson, can you help me out with this small group? Because obviously I don't know what I'm doing. Can you lead one for us? And that's where my training began to become an evangelist. I can tell you about starting my first television show at 22 years old for the NBC station 11 Alive. We started the UPN News at 10 with Karen Greer. Man, that thing failed in less than a year. It ain't work out. I lost my job. It was our first year of marriage. I'm like, I'm supposed to be providing? What am I going to do? Am I going to teach? Am I going to coach? I don't even know what I'm going to do. And lo and behold, the station offered me an opportunity to start a new show at Lanning Company, which is still on today. And it opened up my schedule so my wife and I could have the same schedule and have more time to serve with the campus ministry that grew to the point where we were having over 100 students at our own campus services. God had a plan in it. I can tell you about when we first went through church conflict back in 2015, and I was struggling. I felt, it was hard. But it was during that time when I was introduced to FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I started serving at the high school, which led to me becoming a character coach and dozens of students and their families becoming Christians. It was during that time I met Justin Gibney and Shoal Baraka, and we started an organization called The Ant Campaign. And now we are a mainstream voice, a biblical voice to deal with politics and culture. We got chapters across the nation. During some of my lowest moments, God was there. I can tell you about not being able to close on a house that we just knew was our forever home. I can tell you how we rode up to the house and the for sale sign, the selling agent, his name was Maldonado. I said, Lord, I know this is from you, Jesus. It's a literal sign, only to find our home now in our dream neighborhood with a great school system that was better than expected. And I can tell you how the first time we went on vacation, we came back from Christmas break and a pipe had burst in our house. Our home was flooded. I remember pulling up, there's a stream of water going down the driveway. I'm like, what is happening? I go in, there's a waterfall from upstairs to downstairs. But I can also tell you how the insurance paid for a whole renovation. Gave us a great new downstairs, man. New appliances. It was hard, but better than expected. I can tell you about the church building that we initially wanted, right? We know that. I did a ton of work. I'm working through the East Point City Council. I'm going through meetings, doing research, stuff I didn't know how to do. And it failed. But God opened the doors for this building. I can tell you about how our football team, North Clayton, the last two seasons, you know how many games we won? One. You talk about feeling like a failure. But guess what? I got to meet and build a relationship with a young man named Jalen Jones. JJ was the first person to get baptized here in this building once we started having services. What can seem like disorienting detours may be divine after all. Truly, most, if not all, of the major successes in my life happened after failure. My plans failed. I guess I'm a little bit like the Avengers. And maybe you are too. I mean, think about the relationship you wanted, that you tried to hold on to, that failed, but then you look at who your spouse is now. All right, yeah, we got that one. Thank God for the failed plans, because woo, some of us, whoa. Think about the college you wanted to attend, but they didn't accept you or they didn't give you the right money, right? But look at the education that you got as a result, right? Think about the promotion you wanted or that you didn't get, only to have the position and the opportunities that you have now. You know, let's be honest. There's some of us that if our plans had not failed, we would not be here today. We wouldn't be searching for God. We wouldn't. We wouldn't be seeking God. We wouldn't be building spiritual relationships. We wouldn't be serving him. We wouldn't be striving to help save souls. Because we would have good in the world, going straight to hell, living great on earth. We got to understand, and when I say that sometimes our plans have to fail for God's plan to succeed, I'm referring first and foremost to God's plan for each and every one of us to be in the right relationship with him. Ultimately, I don't know what he has planned for your specific situation, but I do know what he has planned for all of us. His perfect plan is that all of us will be saved. All of us will be disciples of Jesus Christ. All of us will have our sins forgiven so that we can be with him for eternity. That's the plan that he wants to succeed for us. And yet some of us are holding on to our plans so much that it's hindering God's plan for us to be right with him. Today may be the day for us to let go. Let your plans fail so that God's plan can succeed. Amen? Amen. Can I get an amen from the balcony? Amen. Okay, you still with me. I'm encouraged by the seasoned saints in this room. The seasoned saints that have been around for years, decade plus, I'm talking about the seasoned saints that have overcome failure after failure and tragedy after tragedy, heartbreak after heartbreak, and are still here, striving and thriving, paving a path for those of us who come behind them. A path paved with streets of endurance, signs of hope, and guardrails of righteousness. They've been through their shipwrecks and snake bite stories, right? They have been able to celebrate those after the fact because they stayed around long enough to see God's plan come to fruition. Sometimes we just got to give God a little bit of time to show us that he's planning things for our good. Just like he did for Paul. Paul had to see that the shipwreck and the snake bite, it turned out into good things. You remember how the story ended in verse 10? It said, as a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. I love that. He had everything he needed. Yeah, he went through some hard times, but he had everything he needed. This helps us to give ourselves permission to fail. We about 20 minutes, 25 minutes in the sermon now. Come on, y'all. But not so fast, my friends. The next verse actually gives us a little bit more context. Acts 28, verse 11. Acts 28, verse 11, which is the next slide, and it says this. It was 3 months after the shipwreck that we set sail on another ship that had wintered at the island. 3 months? Three? On an island with nothing? You talking about 3 months? I don't know about you. That sounds like, oh, 3 months. I'm struggling. That leads me to the second point. Final point, divine delays. Divine delays. Proverbs 16:32, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Let me tell you, patience is still one of those things God is still working with me on. Patience takes a lot of self-control, and I tell you, I'm not there yet. We want to hear from you. What do you hate waiting on the most? What do you hate waiting on the most? That's that next slide. What do you hate waiting on the most? Look, some of y'all try to tell me I'm hungry. Y'all try to tell me, listen, I got my reservations already. My dreams. Ooh, somebody waiting on his wife. Look, you know, there's some things you only put on there because you can't tell who did it. I'm sure that brother was like this. Relationships, my husband. I like that. I like that. Marriage, a breakthrough. The red light. Knowing next steps. Yes, let me tell you. Few things are more discouraging than in-between times. in between jobs, in between relationships, in between a rock and a hard place. I call these times the messy middle. I don't know about you, I like starting things and I like finishing things. I don't like the in-between. I want to be able to finish so I can move on to the next thing. The next exciting thing, the next exciting project. And I got to be honest, I may or may not be that guy, may or may not, that sets the GPS and then tries to beat it. Maybe I may or may not be that guy that says I can get there, but I'm going to prove that GPS wrong. But what I got to learn is this, going to where God wants us to go is not as important as becoming who God wants us to be. Mark Batterson says this, the problem is that some of us want to know the will of God more than we want to know God. We can go to the next slide. And it short circuits spiritual growth. You can't do the will of God if you don't have the heart of God. That's where shipwrecks and snake bites come into play. They don't just get us where God wants us to go. They help us become who he wants us to be. Then he quotes Oswald Chambers, who says, we must never put our dreams of success as God's purpose for us. The question of getting to a particular end is a mere incident. What we call the process, God calls the end. His purpose is that I depend on him and on his power now. It is the process, not the end, which is glorifying to God. You can go to the next slide. You know, I wish that I would have read this chapter when I was going through my discouraging delays, waiting on the final approval to get into this building, right? Whew. I wish I would have read this when I was praying. I'm like, golly, God, we paid mortgage on this building. It's been about a year and a half, and we still can't use it. I wish I would have read this when I almost broke because it was getting too cold to have church outside. Man, it almost broke me. And we had to go back to having virtual services at the end of last year. Back to virtual services, God? Discouraging delays. Now, in the moment, I really couldn't understand God's plan, or really, I didn't really want to understand God's plan. Like, God, we should be in this building. But let me tell you what God did. When we got into this building, we went out canvassing the neighborhood, passing out flyers, and the neighbors would tell me, I know who y'all are. Y'all are the ones meeting out there for church outside. I said, wow. While I was pouting, God was preparing a way. While I was pouting, God was using outside as a marketing tool to get the word out that here's a church that is for the community that really focuses on what happens outside the four walls anyways. I said, wow, I'm sorry, God. He turned some discouraging delays into something divine. That's what he did for Paul as well. The shipwreck and the snake bite led to a divine appointment with the chief official of the entire island. So sometimes it's like when we see what happens, when we meet the people, when we see the results, those divine appointments, that's when we're able to look back and say, ah, I see what you were doing, God. I wasn't even thinking like that, no, because your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Let me tell you, last week, I'm going to close out this story. Last week, two of my TVs decided that they were done. One of my TVs is older than Layla, who's 11 years old, and obviously that TV said, I'm just done. I'm retired. It stopped turning on. I'm going to TV heaven. That's it. The other TV, I guess it knew that football season was coming up. And it really didn't want to go another season of me yelling at the TV. No, the TV said, nah, it ain't happened. Just started flashing. I tried to YouTube it, and it ain't fixing. Okay. So I go and do some research, and my wife helps me out. We go, it's a great time for sales. Some great sales out there right now. I said, well, okay, Walmart, boom. We'll go ahead and get this TV. First, I go to the Walmart near my house. I can't get in. The parking lot is taped off, and I'm like, what is happening? It had caught on fire, y'all. A teenager started a fire in the paper goods aisle. So I'm like, okay. So I go to the other one. That's Peachtree City. I go over to Noonan. I'm in Noonan. That TV that I wanted, the size I wanted. You know, we had to upgrade a little bit. You know, it was a good time. It was on sale. You know, there was a TV there, not the one I wanted. You know what I mean? So there wasn't there. So I said, anyways, go ahead and look over to the Fayetteville Walmart. So the next day, I go to the Fayetteville Walmart. And I go to the, we ordered online. I want to make sure nobody got it. And I go to the, you know, to the desk where you pick up your TV. And the lady, you know, she was in a zone. And she's like, you know how they, you know, over in Fayetteville. Like, go over there by the door. Those guys will help you. You mean over there by the, yeah, those two guys will help you. Okay. So I walk over. Hey, y'all, can y'all help me with this TV? One of them walks off. One of them is left. He looks at me. I look at him, he looks at me, I look at him, and I'm like, Zay? Xavier? I'm like, we dap each other up, this is a teenager. He used to be a teenager. He became a Christian, he was 17 years old, he's 28 now. He said, Pastor Angel, that's you? I said, man, that's crazy. He said, man, it's so crazy, I've been trying to get my life right. Ever since I left church, I started doing some stuff, getting back into some stuff. I got some court cases. Pray for the brother. I need to come to church. I said, God, won't he do it? But guess what? Guess what he told me? I told him my story. Zay, I shouldn't even be here today. It was a burnt down Walmart. The side wasn't there. I tell him all that. You know what he says? Pastor Angel, I wasn't even supposed to be working today. Won't he do it? Come on, church. You know, I'm like, is there like a specific department of angels just in charge of divine appointments? The burnt down Walmart. The size ain't going to be there that he really wants. The TVs ain't going to work. It ain't my plan, but it's God's plan. It's a whole department of angels working on that. I think we need to get our angels busy this week. The divine appointment department of angels. All right? Because I do believe that he wants to set up some divine appointments for us this week. And that's our challenge for the week as we wrap up. The challenge for the week. We got a big service coming up next week. And I'm going to give you the easiest chance you will have all week to share your amen. Go to that next slide so they can see the flyer. I'm going to give you the easiest opportunity you will have all week to share your yes, to set up a divine appointment. This is our college kickoff that I talked about last week. This is a fall kickoff. Really is for everybody. We have a great panel. But we wanted to do a little college edition because we want to reach out to our college students again. We want to revive that college ministry and help our college students that are really struggling, the ones that are really searching for God. So we got a great panel. We got Jordan Edwards. She became a Christian at Spelman her freshman year, became valedictorian, is now an attorney. She's going to talk about what it's like. Her husband just got his doctorate, and they have two young kids. She's going to talk about what it's like to be a mom in the professional world, to be married, to be a parent, to continue. How do you do that, right? As well as talking about her time at Spelman. Demetria Walker, pre-med student at Georgia State, a Fulbright scholar. She loves and she has a heart for volunteerism. She brought a ton of college students for our medical day to serve. So we'll be talking to her about what it's like to be a single woman who's pursuing a career and pursuing her passions, right? Richard Stewart, the assistant director of sports medicine. He's the trainer for men's basketball at Georgia Tech. He was dating him as girlfriend Rachel, they became Christians, got married, and now he leads a small group reaching out to the athletes at Georgia Tech. He's still relatively young as a Christian. We're going to talk to him about that. And Matthew Mercado, he's a co-founder of Fight Club, Spiritual Fight Club. I know y'all, I'm going to let him tell you what that is, but he's got 85 young men, teenagers, that are encouraging each other in their faith. He's a freshman at Georgia State University. I know everybody, listen, so what I'm telling you is this is going to help everybody. It's not just for college students. And I want everybody from our church community to come in person next week. You have a 9 a.m., you have an 11 a.m. Service. We'll have a bounce house out there, God willing, ice cream, free ice cream. We'll have a food truck. But we need you to register, all right? As we get ready to pray for communion, just remember that sometimes our plans have to fail so God's plan can succeed. Give yourself permission to fail freely and watch disorienting detours and discouraging delays become divine, lead to divine appointments. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for your ultimate plan to save us. We see how Jesus dying on the cross for us and being resurrected was part of that plan. The most important piece of that plan. We honor you right now for that plan. And we just submit our plans to you, God. We just give it all to you. We just surrender. God, we can't control it anyway. Just ask that you lead us in the way you want us to go, that you may be glorified. Whether things feel good or they don't, just give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.